I want to talk to you today on this topic, and I'll get to it, and you'll figure it out in a little bit. Max and Laurel. That's my title today. Max and Laurel. We talk about revival. We've just talked about it for the last few moments. And is there? I want to ask you a question, and I want you to respond. But is there anybody here that does desire revival? Is there anybody here that says, I want to see not just a numerical growth, but an outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Is there anybody in the room that's the vision of what we want for our church? I don't know about you. I do know about me. There's a hunger for revival in my heart, and I know there's a hunger for revival in our families and those of you that are starting to gather and those that have been here many years and those that have been here just a few months. There's a hunger for revival. It's biblical to have revival. It's biblical. Scripture will tell us. In fact, Acts chapter number 2 in verse 17 and 18, it tells this, and it shall come to pass. This is Peter who was quoting the prophet Joel on the day of Pentecost. And he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will. Somebody say, I will. That's affirmative. It's going to happen. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I believe we just heard a little bit of that this morning. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will. Somebody say, I will. I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Go down to verse number 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's biblical. Revival is biblical. It's going to happen. God is going to do the work. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9 says, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former house, saith the Lord of hosts. Basically meaning what they had in the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament church was great. But the prophet here is saying that the glory of the latter or the later or the ending house will be greater than that of the former house. And the promise that we have here today is as much as we saw revival in the children of Israel and in the New Testament church, that's amazing the things that we hear about that transpired. But the Bible is telling us, and the prophet through the Spirit of God is saying that all of that is awesome and needed and necessary and happened, but what we can experience will be greater than that they experienced. Jesus even said, greater works shall you do than this. It's biblical today to talk about revival. Amos chapter number 9 and verse 13 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seeds. Basically, what he's talking about is perpetual harvest. This is the kind of harvest that we can expect God to perform in the last days, that the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. Before we can even get the harvest out of the field, somebody's behind him planting more seeds. And before the treader of grapes can get finished, somebody's sowing seed all behind him. It's a continual or perpetual harvest. That's the revival that has been prophesied. It's biblical. It's going to come. There's no doubt about it today. And I'm excited about revival. I want to introduce you today to two people. The first person I want to introduce you today is Max. Max was an unassuming man. He was a very kind man, and every memory that I had of him was just kind. To my knowledge, Max never held a position. He may never even held a microphone. But Max loved people. Max loved photography. Some of you already know who I'm talking about. Would take pictures and make the little buttons that he would hand out to all the different events. I don't know what the circumstances surrounding the occasion that I'm addressing this morning. I don't know if it was prompted by a Sunday school drive or if it was just him having a desire to reach somebody, but Max invited some kids from a close by neighborhood to church. As a result of that invitation, those kids asked some of their cousins if they wanted to come with them. So we ended up with a crowd of teenagers. And that's brave. I've just come from that. It wasn't even who he invited at first. They invited somebody else. And not all of those kids continued to come, but one did. One of the cousins decided to stay. And his life was forever impacted because of this. He met his future wife at church. They continued to come, finding ways to serve. He had three kids, all of which came to that church. All three kids married, and their spouses were in church. Every one of those kids had three kids of their own. One turned into five. Five turned into eight. Eight has now turned into 17. All of those kids, all of the spouses, all of the grandkids have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it started with one man being willing to open up his car, being willing to open up his time and invest into the kingdom of God. The cousin that continued to come was my father. I wouldn't be standing here today if it weren't for Max. The Guerras would not be here today if it were not for Max. The McManuses in Tennessee would not be there today in the service that they're in if it were not for Max. He was not a pastor. He was not a leader. He was not in a position. He just wanted to be used of God. And he probably did not know to the extent what was going to transpire by simply inviting some kids to church on a Saturday afternoon. He had no idea, no way he could have foretold what would transpire in the life of some of those kids. But if it were not for that, for the trajectory changing in my father's life, he would not have been here. He would not have met my mother. I would not be here today if it were not for somebody willing to go outside of their comfort zone and say, listen, I don't even have anything in common with you. You're a teenager. I'm a middle-aged man. I'm busy. I've got jobs and I've got things to do. But would you be interested in coming to church with me? Would you be interested in hearing about a God that changed my life? Max didn't know what was going to transpire. But because of Max, there's 17 people in my family that have been forever changed. That's Max today. Now let me tell you about Laurel. Laurel was on the other side of the spectrum. She was 17 years old, just a teenager. She lived in an apartment complex. She saw a new couple move in. She didn't know them. She really had nothing in common with them. She had her life, she had her friends, no doubt her interests, her hobbies. She could have found every excuse to not reach out to them. But she didn't. She talked to the wife. She asked her if she wanted a Bible study. 17 years old. Had a couple Bible studies, and then her church was having revival services, so she invited her to church with her. The first service, as she stepped in the doors, God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and she was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Laurel was 17. Nothing in common, just happened to live in the same apartment complex. Wasn't long before her husband was coming and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. One turned into two. Two turned into six with all their kids. Turned into 11 with spouses. Now there are six more grandkids, all filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name because of a 17-year-old teenager who decided to take time out of her day and her life, her interests, and her comfort zone to just simply ask somebody if they were wanting to know about Jesus. She had no way to know the impact that she would have on that couple's life. She couldn't see into the next few decades and see the result of a teenager loving God and people enough to just ask somebody if they wanted to go to church. That lady that Laurel reached out to was my mother-in-law. My wife would not be here today if Laurel hadn't opened her mouth and spoke to somebody about Jesus. Her family would not be in church today. Between Max and Laurel, There are at least 25 that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. 2 pastors, 4 licensed ministers, strong families and churches today, all because Max and Laurel decided it was important enough to reach into somebody else's life. It was important enough to look past my selfish interests and reach into somebody else's life and change their eternity forever. I realize today that we all probably have similar stories if we go back in our time frames long enough. But I can tell you today that the only reason I'm here today, the only reason my kids are here today, is because Max and Laurel talked to somebody about Jesus. I'm going to go back to my beginning point today. Revival is biblical. It's supposed to happen and it will happen. But are we going to be a part of it? It's the only variable in the equation today. How are we going to respond? It's going to happen. Are we going to be a part of it? How does revival come? We want revival. You testified this morning you wanted revival. We pray for revival. I know it's been on our prayer list for years. We sing about revival. We have a proficiency in song about revival. But what are we going to do outside of these 2 doors out here in the front to see revival happen? Because you can talk about it, you can want it, you can sing about it, you can discuss it. But if you don't ever walk out the doors of this church and talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, revival doesn't just happen. It happens because somebody has a heart for the lost. Because Max said somebody needs to hear about Jesus. They don't look like me. They're not my age. I don't have anything in common, but I'm going to reach them. Laurel said, I don't even know who they are, but I'm going to reach them about Jesus Christ. You've got to have a hunger. The hunger cannot just, but the revival is not coming into church. Let me just clarify the definition. Revival's not coming into church and having a shout down every Sunday. That's not revival. That's us having church amongst ourselves. And it's great to be in the presence of God and to worship and sing and allow His presence to move. That's awesome, necessary. But that's not revival. That's an encouragement for the church. Revival is teaching a Bible study on your break time at work when nobody else is there with you. That's revival. Revival is going into somebody's house and teaching a Bible study when nobody else is with you. That's revival. And what comes from that is them coming through the doors of the church, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and being baptized in His name. That's how a church experiences revival. So when do we transition from singing and praying and talking into having revival? It's when we sing and pray and talk about it at lunch and to the waiter and to the person at the grocery store and to the person on our job. When was the last time you opened your mouth and spoke about something other than politics and sports and said, hey, is there anything in your life I can pray for? Do you have a prayer request? We're going to have prayer. In fact, this next Wednesday is First Wednesday prayer at my church. Would you mind, you just give me anything that you need prayer for? I'm going to take it to my church. When's the last time? I don't say that as an indicting statement because it would be the same for me. I have to ask the same question to myself. When was the last time I spoke to somebody? I stopped my hurry at the grocery store and engaged with the cashier enough to say, hey, if there's anything I can pray for you about, why don't you tell me? We want it. It will come. But will we be a part of it? Listen, God is bound by His word. He said it's going to happen. He said in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He's bound by His word. He will send revival, but He is not obligated to make us a part of it. I don't care what's the name on our church or the organization we belong to or the license we have in our pocket. There's no obligation on God's part for us to experience revival if we don't do what He's called us to do. You know how revival happens? God uses a Max. He wasn't a pastor. Because this is what we have, the excuses that are in our mind. Well, I don't have enough knowledge to talk to somebody. Maybe if I just invite him to church, maybe the pastor will preach something that will catch their attention. I'm not a leader. I'm not in charge. I don't have a title. I'm not in charge of nothing. What can I do? Max was not in charge of anything. Laurel, for certain, was not in charge of anything. She was a 17-year-old girl living in an apartment with her mother. yet she changed the trajectory of an entire family lineage because she chose to put aside selfish interests and uncomfortable moments of that initial conversation and just throw seed. If we ever get past, that need to know, I need to know how they'll respond if I ask them. I need to know if they want to hear about Jesus. I need to see all the answers up front. If we could ever get past that and just say, here's some seed. Because it's God who gives the increase anyways. It's not us. One man throws the seed, one man waters, one man picks the weeds out, but God gives the increase. It's not our responsibility anyways. So why are we worried about the harvest instead of, you know what, I'm worried so much about the harvest, I'm not going to plant any seed. That's what we do. Now, I've come here today with a challenge in my spirit to both myself and to everybody else in this room. The young people today, they could have taken it and just preached it the way they did, and we would have been just fine. I'm just here to elaborate a moment on this, the topic of revival, because I'm just going to tell you the hunger that we felt in those 23 kids in an arena filled with 34,000 people was tangible. But we can't live in an arena full of 34,000 kids. We can't even live in a sanctuary filled with 135 people. We've got to live in our homes and go to our jobs and go to our stores. And in the middle of that, that's where revival comes. Revival does not come on a Sunday afternoon or a Wednesday afternoon or evening. Revival doesn't come there. It might end up there, but it starts in our homes. And it starts on our job. And it starts in our prayer time. And it starts in our commitment. And it starts in our unselfishness. That's where revival comes from. So here's my challenge today. If we sing about it, we should be living it. If we talk about it, we should be living it. I don't know how else to put this today, but if we go through service after service with just singing and speaking about revival and not experiencing revival, that's not God's fault. That's ours. Because His Word says, I'm bringing revival. I'm pouring out my Spirit on all flesh. I will do this. But is there a max today that says, you know what, I'm going to get outside of my agenda long enough to see somebody? That's the biggest part of our problem, I think, is we don't see people. We don't see them. We see our to-do list, and we see our schedule, and we see what we have to get done, but we don't see people. And those people are just as precious to God as you and I and our children are. And they won't know about God until somebody who has experienced Him has enough gumption to say, can I talk to you about God? Just those initial words are hard. They're hard. I'm not here to tell you this is an easy thing to do. That initial reaching out and saying, listen, is there something I can pray with you about? That's not an easy thing to do. It doesn't come natural for most of us. But if you will just say, God, we've prayed this prayer since I've been here. If you put somebody in my path, I will talk to them. If you'll open up the door, I'll walk through it. And if you can trust Him enough to say, when you open up that door, I'm going to take a step, even when I don't see where my foot's going to land. Even if I don't know if they're interested. Even if I don't understand really where they're at. If I don't even have anything in common with them, and that's okay. But God, if you lead me to somebody, I'm going to open my mouth, and I'm going to expect you to fill it. I'm going to let you take my willingness, and you anoint my willingness, and use your wisdom. You help me help you. You allow me to be used of you, and I'll be willing. That's what it takes. I'm praying this morning that there is an awakening of vision in your life and in my life. That we see people. There was nothing special about the kids that were invited to church. There was nothing special about my father. The reality is he probably just came along with his cousins to hang out with his family. But God had a purpose. I'm not anything special. I'm just a result of somebody special that said, listen, I'm going to be used of God. My wife isn't anything special out of the ordinary. She's just a result of a 17-year-old that said, can I talk to you about God? Would you be interested in a Bible study? Now let me tell you today, you may get some rejection. But all it takes is one yes. One yes. that somebody is hungry, that somebody does want. You don't know what we judge everything on the outside appearance. They don't look like they want anything. They look like they have it all together. They don't want to talk about God. We prejudge them, and usually to our advantage, so we don't have to talk to them. You don't know what's going on inside the heart. You don't know who God is already dealing with before you ever come in contact with Him. You don't know what their circumstances are. You don't know that they've been praying in their bed, saying, God, if you're real, I need you to talk, have somebody talk to me. You don't know that, and you'll never find out if you're not willing to say, hey, can I pray with you today? I'm asking us today to become more aware of those around us, because God does want to use us. God does have every desire to see a revival be poured out in this church, in this community, in this area. And I want to be a part of it. If it's going to be poured out, don't leave me behind. If you're going to pour out revival in this county, in this area, let us be a part of it. Let us be an integral part of reaching somebody for the kingdom of God. It's not about numerical growth. It's not. It's not about how many numbers we can put on the back wall. It's not. It's about somebody being freed from the prison of sin. It's about somebody changing the trajectory of their family for eternity, because we opened up our mouth and let God be used in our life. Will you stand with me today, and musicians come? This is a very simple message, but God dropped this on my heart about 3 weeks ago. And I kept saying, God, okay, tell me more. What more do I need to say? What is it that you're trying to get across? And He said, there's nothing more than this. You tell them that if Max hadn't opened up his mouth, your father wouldn't be in church today, and you would not be in church today, and your kids would not be in church today. It would not be the same as you would know it today. You open up your mouth and you tell them that had Laurel not said anything to her neighbor and went about her business of being busy with the church, then they would not have ever been in church, and their kids and their grandkids would never receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's all we should be worried about today. That should be enough for us to say, if that's what's hanging in the balance, if my willingness to speak or not speak is what the pinnacle of what's going to happen for the fulcrum one way or the other, then let me err on the side of just telling everybody. And if somebody wants to refuse it, they can refuse it. But if I'm the only person that's going to speak to them, I want to be willing to do so. I want revival. I want revival. I want God to move through our kids, and I want God to move through our young marrieds. I want God to move through our elders. We need revival in our church. And God will have revival. Will we be part of it? It doesn't happen without participation. We don't get to fast for 2 weeks and never open up our mouth. You hear me today? Because sometimes those who have a problem speaking to others, we think we can justify that. I'll go ahead and fast. I'll fast for 2 weeks and ask for God for revival, but we don't speak to anybody. It's not a substitution. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray 2 hours every day, and I'm just going to pray and let God do everything else. No. He said, go and teach all nations. You go. There's a responsibility. Do we need to fast? Absolutely. Does it help along the way? It absolutely does. Does prayer facilitate the need? Yes, it does. But it takes an action on your part and my part. We don't get the opportunity to say, well, that's just not my nature. We don't get that option if we want revival. We speak. We open up our mouths. We reach. We teach Bible studies. Well, I've never taught a Bible study, Pastor. That's okay. Let's figure it out. Let me get you one in your hands. And you can teach it to me to practice. I don't care. I'll help you. We'll teach Bible studies. When was the last time you had a Bible study in your home? Or are we just content to have it on Wednesday nights? It's going to be hard to get somebody through the doors of the church if you never get them through the doors of your home. We got to get engaged. We've got to build relationships, and we've got to teach and pray for others and open up our mouths and speak today. Here's what I'm asking. I'm asking for commitment today. I will be the first one to raise my hand. The prayer that I'm praying is not just to make it sound good. I'm telling you, the prayer I'm praying today is what we need to be praying. God, if you will put somebody in my path, I will speak to you. How do you know? You'll know when the conversation opens up and they bring up something about church or about God or about prayer or about family, and there's a need that's exposed. That's the door that's open. Many times we don't have to open the door ourselves. It's right there. We just have to walk through it. So I'm committing today. God, if you'll do this, I will walk through that door. I'll speak to somebody. And if they close the door in my face, so be it. But I don't want to have the responsibility of wondering if I had spoken to them, if their trajectory would have been changed. I want to do what I can do to see God move in this, in both in my family and in my church and in my community and on my job. I want to see God move. Does anybody else want revival? Listen, when we started this service off in this sermon, you all said we want revival. Yes, I want God to move. Yes, I want God to reach people. And then all of a sudden when the response ability is on us, we get a little more timid. Don't get timid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He's not going to put you in a position of walking out by faith and not performing what needs to be done. God will go with you. He said, if you'll just go open your mouth, Moses, I will fill it. I will do what I need to do. Just throw that rod down and I'll make it into a serpent. Pick it up and I'll turn it back into a staff. If you'll do what God is asking you to do, God will do what only he can do. But we've got to do our part. We've got to speak. We've got to pray. We've got to reach. We've got to love. We've got to see people. This is a little different altar call today. I'm just going to ask, as a church, if we can just take a step. I know we can't all get up here today, but if we can just take a step, maybe it's a husband and a wife, you could come together. Families, if you want to come together, we're just going to take a step and say, God, this is my commitment that, Lord, I want revival. And if you'll allow me to be a part of that, I'm going to do whatever I can. Because listen, God knows what we're able to do and what we're not able to do. He's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do. But with him, all things are possible, Scripture says. So if you're willing to say, I'm going to do whatever I can do. God, if you open a door, I'll walk through it. If you allow a conversation to start, I'll speak to somebody about your will and about your purpose. I'll speak to somebody about teaching them a Bible study. But Lord, I'm asking you to bring them into my path. Because if you're really willing to do that, God will perform it. If you're insincere in your prayer today, God will make it happen. That's what I'm asking for, a commitment from anybody here today that says, I want revival and I want to be a part of it. I don't want to be a bystander. I don't want to watch while somebody else teaches a Bible study. I want to be a part of revival. Now we're going to ask God to do it for us, to instill the boldness in us and to open up the doors. All right? Why don't we just lift our hands all over this place? And I want you to begin to talk to him. I want you to use your words and say, God, this is what I want. God, this is what I want to see. This is what I want to experience in my church. This is what I want to see somebody filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How long has it been since somebody for the first time has spoken in tongues in this altar? It's been a while. We need to see God move. How long has it been since we baptized somebody in Jesus' name? It's been a while. We need to see God move. But he's only going to do it to the extent that we're willing to go with him. Come on, open up your mouth this morning and you begin to talk to God. Make some commitments to him. Lord, if you'll do it, I'll do it. If you'll bring them, I'll speak to them. God, if you'll open the door, I'll walk through it. Come on, all over this place, would you lift your voice and begin to pray? God, we pray for an outpouring of your Spirit. Lord, we know that revival is coming. You prophesied it in your word. We know that it's going to be here. But God, we know you're not obligated to use us if we're not walking the way we need to walk and speaking the way we need to speak. So God, this is a church-wide commitment right now. We want to see you move. God, we want to see revival in our families. We want to see revival, God, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, God. Wherever it is, Lord, that there's a door to be opened, God, I'm willing to walk through. God, I'm willing to see what you can do in their lives. I want to see somebody's trajectory forever changed. Their kids and their grandkids to come forever impacted because of what the Holy Ghost can do to somebody. Lord, let your will be done in this community. Lord, let your will be done. I know you're already dealing with people. God, I know you're already stirring hearts. God, if it's a prodigal, I want to reach them. If it's a new convert, God, I want to reach them. I want to be a part of changing somebody's life through the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. Hang on just a second. Listen to me. I want everybody in this room right now, I want you to think back. How did you get here today? I'm talking about how did you start coming to church? There's probably not one person in this room that just happened to show up one day. Nobody ever talked to them. Nobody was ever kind to them. It just didn't happen. There was a catalyst in your life. Maybe it was a situation. Maybe it was an individual. Somebody in your life was the catalyst to get you here today. So what right do we think that we don't have to be that somebody for somebody else? What right do we think it's just going to happen with us not opening up our mouth? It takes somebody willing to speak. Listen, even if somebody was able to just come in the doors on their own, we've had that before. They drive by and feel it. Listen, Sister Jan, I don't want to embarrass you for anything. When you came in the door that day, you've told me. You looked around. You didn't know anybody. You weren't sure what was going on with the seats because of COVID. And you didn't look like you had any room. And you were getting ready to walk out the door, weren't you? Until my wife came over to you and said, hey, would you want to come sit with me? She'd already made it in the door, but nobody had talked to her. If nobody had opened up their mouth, she would have walked back out the door and would not be here today. You've got to be willing to reach into somebody else's life. If we didn't get here by ourselves, they're not going to get here by themselves. I'm trying to combat this mentality. If we can just come on Sunday and just have good church and just worship and sing real loud and have great instrument play, that's awesome. But we think that that would take the place of reaching out. This is where we come to gather strength. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. Absolutely right. But that's not what constitutes revival. That's just a product of it. We should come together and have great church because we've been seeing God move. And we can begin to praise Him because somebody we talked to, it came with us to church or is in the middle of a Bible study. That's what revival is. Don't let yourself be deceived that we're winning our world by just having good church on Sunday morning. We need souls that are being saved. We need somebody being baptized, somebody being in a Bible study. That's how lives are changed. I don't know about you today. I'm just stirred in my spirit. I want to be Max. In 30 years, I want somebody to say, there's this guy named Phil who just came up to me and invited me to church in the grocery store. And let me tell you, now my kids are in church and my grandkids are in church. That's what I want. My testimony is not going to be that I pastored a church and I preached on Sunday morning. I want my testimony to be that I changed somebody's life by introducing them individually to the power of the Holy Ghost. That's got to be our drive. The Bible says He would give us power to be witnesses. After you receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive power to be witnesses. That's what the Holy Ghost, it saves us, but it gives us power to be witnesses to everybody else around us. So the excuse of, that's just not my personality, doesn't fly. Because He didn't say to some people, I gave outgoing personality so you could be witnesses for me. He said, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's no excuse in the book that will work because He's given you what you need to open your mouth and be a witness for Him and to be impactful to the kingdom of God. I'm almost done. But don't, let me combat this for just a moment. Don't say, great message, awesome, thanks, Pastor. I know somebody's going to do that and walk out and go to lunch today. We're great at this. We're adept at this. That was a great word. You take it. That was great. That's an awesome word, Pastor. You take it, Brother Randy. Yep, somebody will take it. No, you take it. Responsibility starts with you. I don't know who else that's for, but that's for me today. And so when I walk out these doors and go to lunch, my eyes will be open. So if there's even a brief little door that opens up at lunchtime with my waiter, I'm going to say, hey, can I tell you about what God did for me? Just the briefest door, I'm going to allow God to use me. Is Sister Joni here today? I don't know anybody else that speaks to more people than Sister Joni. She'll tell me every time she calls me, listen, I talked to so-and-so at the Goodwill. I talked to somebody else at the restaurant. And sometimes I know you've been discouraged because they didn't show up. You plant the seed. You plant the seed. You open up your mouth. God will give the increase. I'm telling you today, it doesn't matter. Results don't matter. If you say, you come back to me next week and say, I talked to 18 people this week and nobody came on Sunday, I'm not going to be upset. Because it doesn't matter if they showed up yet or not. When you begin to plant the seed, there's something that's going to be growing on the inside that you may not even be able to see yet. And it may take a few weeks to start to grow, but when that, and then it bursts out of the ground, you're going to see some fruit from the efforts you're placing in today. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. That's harvest if you faint not. Simple message today. Two people forever changed my family. From both sides. I know I've got heritage that I didn't bring up today. But if my dad wasn't here, he wouldn't have married my mom. both sides of my family completely impacted for the kingdom of God because two people were willing to speak to somebody else that they didn't know. I'm just here to challenge you today. It could be you. You can change your neighborhood. You can change your job. You can change your community if you're willing to say, all right, God, I'm up. I'm willing. You've got to do the work. I'll open my mouth. You fill it. I don't have all the answers, God, but I know if you said I would, if I would just take a step of faith, you wouldn't let me fall. God's going to do it. God is going to do it. Thank you for your commitment today. We're going to have one final prayer today. And that's a blessing on what God is doing here and asking for him to start it even today. We're not starting like a diet on Monday, all right? We're starting it today. God, if you do something today in the grocery store, I'm going to be watching. My eyes are open. I'm looking. I'm paying attention. And I'm going to walk through a door if you open it. Let's pray together. God, we need you. Lord, I feel a sense of commitment in this place today. I know there's a hunger to see the things of God. I know that there's a hunger to see an outpouring of your spirit among these people. I know there's a hunger inside of me, God. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. God, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to be a part of the end time revival that you've prophesied about so many times. There's been a lot of prayers prayed and there's been a lot of investment made. But God, today I feel it's a season of harvest and of reaping. And I want to be a part of what you're doing. I pray that you would guide every one of our steps. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us, Lord, that you would put somebody in an impact point with us that we can begin to speak to them. And I pray, God, that there would be visible results. I know we're not getting discouraged if there wasn't, but God, I pray that there would be visible results, that we would see increase in your kingdom this month and next month and the rest of this year. God, I pray for somebody to receive your spirit. I pray for somebody to call me and say, hey, we got to go baptize somebody at the church. Lord, I pray for their to be an outpouring of your Holy Ghost in Jesus' name for your glory, God, and for your kingdom, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.